Hey, Crooked listeners, if you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So, what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome to Love It or Leave It, live from Hollywood. I'm John Lovett. I'm married to this haircut. We've got a great show for you tonight, but first, let's get into it. What a week. Over the weekend, the campaign of Maine Senate candidate and guy who you can easily imagine getting into a deadly bar fight over whether the transporter in Star Trek is technically a cloning machine, Graham Blattner, was rocked by a sexting scandal. They're pretty explicit, and I have no idea why they were sent to me, said Atlantic editor-in-chief Jeffrey Goldberg. According to reporting in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal, Blattner's wife, Amy Gertner, told a campaign aide that she had found sexually explicit texts from her husband that he had exchanged with several women early in their marriage. Really putting the oi in Oyster Farmer with this guy. But hey, it takes a little while after getting married to understand the rules. As a newly married man myself, is it technically cheating that whenever the Dodgers win, I use the McDonald's app to get free chicken nuggets? No. And yet, why do I eat them in my car and hide the evidence? Why does it feel like a shameful secret? Speaking of shameful secrets, the disclosure of the sexy text was part of an internal vetting process that began after the campaign launched in August. Gertner, Blattner's wife, shared that she had found the messages in the spring, and the couple had dealt with the issue in counseling. The campaign ultimately decided that it was a private matter. Sorry, a private matter, and one that they would not make public. But then the aide Gertner told about the text, Genevieve McDonald, resigned in October over Blattner's Reddit posts and, of course, the Nazi tattoo, which we're calling Strike One and Strike Zwei. McDonald then shared the existence of the texts, which were told to her in confidence by Blattner's wife, to the Wall Street Journal. Wow, kind of evil, said Maine resident Pennywise the Dancing Clown. Said Gertner, I confided deeply personal details about my marriage to someone I considered a friend. I trusted this person with the most private chapter of our lives. This is why I never tell anyone at work anything. Hallie and Laz, they think they attended my wedding. That was a decoy wedding populated by crisis actors, including paid celebrity attendee Tig Notaro. For Blattner's part, he made a promise that he would never sext again. The next embarrassing revelation will be new and surprising and worse. Gertner also recorded a long direct-to-camera message on Saturday while being attacked by bugs.
No marriage is perfect, and I don't want a perfect marriage. I want my marriage, and I want to be married to Graham. Sorry, black flies.
And I'm sorry for secretly breeding a giant swarm of biting black flies in our backyard over many years, added Graham Blattner. It's because I was bummed out over the economy or whatever, and I stopped the night before I announced my campaign. I want to focus on the issues and not the super swarm of bloodthirsty black flies I've bred and released across Maine. On Sunday, Blattner responded to the reports.
It's no surprise to me that the establishment media outlets are just going to run gossip instead of wanting to talk about the things that actually matter in this race, which are the material realities that the Mainers are working with.
Graham, we could spend more time talking about that if so many women didn't know the material realities of what you're working with. During that exchange, Plattner denied the allegations.
But the stories are true, right? About the texts.
No. No, this is the amazing part. The Wall Street Journal and New York Times ran stories without any evidence besides the gossip from a former staffer. I'm sorry, that's frankly journalistic malpractice.
But his wife, standing by his side, had already confirmed the story. The discrepancy, it turns out, is that McDonald was quoted as saying Plattner had sexted with as many as a dozen women, while the Plattner campaign said it was, quote, up to six. First of all, what do you mean, up to six? Why are we estimating? How are you sure it's not seven, but not sure if it's five? And six versus 12 is a big difference when you're talking about how many eggs go in the cake batter. But I'm not sure it's a big distinction when you're talking about how many women got a tongue emoji from a married Senate candidate. But you know what they say, sexed of one, half a dozen of the other. Point is, Graham Plattner has real red flags. You gotta question the judgment of somebody sexting up to six women at the start of their marriage. And I get that marriage is hard as someone who's been married for over a week. Plus, yeah, hell yeah. Plus, some of Plattner's red flags aren't even completely red. They have a white circle with a black twisted cross in the middle that's Sanskrit for good luck. But I'm not a Maine voter, and unless you're consuming this in a lighthouse while drunk on coffee brandy and referring to your in-laws who have lived in your town for three generations as the newcomers, neither are you. We can win the Senate. It is within reach. Graham Plattner, to me, isn't a vessel for challenging the establishment or showing that we as Democrats can embrace candidates as flawed as Republicans or attacking fashionable opponents or proving what a broad coalition can sound like. He is how we defeat Susan Collins, who is a vote for a Republican majority leader, which makes her a vote to enable the most corrupt and dangerous president in American history. Plattner is a means to an end, specifically an end to having to hear Susan Collins say how concerned she is about Trump's $4 billion proposal to replace the Lincoln Memorial with a solid gold Hulk Hogan built by Eric and Don's new Qatari gold statue company. Yes. And I get it. Democrats are afraid of losing. We're accustomed to losing, convinced we are losing. And in fairness, that is based on our record. But it also means that our collective insecurity and anxiety turns debates over practical political choices into matters of virtue and grievance. And I love having grievances. Just ask my high school bully. Oh, you can't. He's in prison for a murder I committed. Plattner isn't a cookie-cutter establishment candidate, they say. Sure, but there are plenty of people who didn't go to Harvard Law and also didn't sext random women on their honeymoon. Janet Mills was a stronger candidate. Okay, but she dropped out because she was getting crushed. Now, Janet Mills did helpfully pop up on Monday to tell reporters that people had the impression that she withdrew or dropped out, but she simply suspended active campaigning and is still on the ballot.
Sure, Jan.
I didn't drop out of the race, Mills says. I simply sat down in the middle of the racetrack and waited for the race to be over, you morons. If you think we need to replace Graham Plattner right now in the days before the primary because this story, which his own wife wishes hadn't become public, is the last straw, you can say that, and maybe in a few days I'll be eating my words. I'm certainly eating everything else now that the wedding's behind us, am I right? This guy knows what I'm talking about, okay. But barring an even worse scandal, which I would not put past this guy, I would rather a Democratic majority with Plattner in the Senate than a Republican majority with Collins in the Senate. And if you agree, and I hope you do, then we ought to believe that Maine voters can be persuaded to believe it too. And if you don't, it's because at root you have internalized a loser mentality. It's not because you don't trust Graham Plattner, it's because you don't trust yourself. Unless you're Graham Plattner's wife, and then I can totally see why you don't trust Graham Plattner. But then again, you seem pretty gung-ho about the whole thing, unless that's an act of self-protection, which I would also understand. Anyway, I'm here if you want to talk, babe. For the record, here's where Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer was at on Tuesday.
I met with Graham Plattner today. We're going to beat Susan Collins and take back the Senate.
Hell yeah. Another thing Chuck Schumer and I have in common, this and the fact that we both know that lettuce and tomato on a bagel is extra, but if you just ask for lettuce, it's usually free. And let us look at what we're up against. Ken Paxton, shut up. Ken Paxton beat out John Cornyn to be the Texas Republican candidate last week, despite getting indicted on felony fraud charges, attempting to overturn the 2020 election, and being the first statewide official to be impeached in almost a century. While we're at it, Paxton's wife of 38 years publicly divorced him on, quote, biblical grounds. So either he cheated on her or cooked a lamb in its mother's milk. Meanwhile, on Monday, Iran halted all negotiations with the U.S. over Israel's military offensive in Lebanon. Here's what Trump had to say about it.
I said, do you think the negotiations are over now? The president said, I don't care if they're over, honestly. I really don't care. I couldn't care less. If they're over, they're over. Frankly, I think they started to get a little boring.
I just hope for the time capsule we have a shot of the White House UFC arena in the background while finding out that the president has grown bored of negotiating for peace in the war he started. You're the president. You don't get to be bored of trying to end a war you chose to fight. It is so insulting. It's like an arsonist leaving before the fire department shows up. You did this. At least enjoy it. Trump has also latched on to maybe the stupidest talking point in the history of his political career.
I take the word dumb, take the B off, because most people don't know that, you know, dumb ends with a B, but most people don't know. And all I do is I switch the E with a U, and you have a Democrat.
Much like Janet Mills' main Senate campaign, that B is silent. So, you know, that was unfair. Because that was just a swerve to come. You thought we were going to have a nice little fun time joking about Trump, who we all hate. But then I was like, back to Janet Mills. Trump can knock down the East Wing. He can attack the pillars of our democracy. But he can't say that most people don't know how to spell dumb. They do, and maybe that is the one thing he cannot take from us. Look, I've seen more than a few commentators say that Democrats are embracing Plantner because they've seen how Republicans have embraced morally bankrupt people without paying a price. But Republicans have embraced Trump and Paxton and other odious figures because they're unrepentant assholes. This debate over Plantner is at root about whether a repentant person can leave the asshole behind, specifically in the pictures they sent of that asshole to no more than six women on the internet. And I am hopeful that the answer is yes, until we see pictures of that asshole with an even more shocking tattoo on it. And with that, we've got a great show for you tonight. And when we come back, Tig Notaro is here.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by SimpliSafe. The problem with most home security systems is that they only alert you after a break-in has already started, and that's too late. That's why you need SimpliSafe to secure your home. Using a comprehensive system of sensors, indoor and outdoor cameras, and 24/7 professional monitoring with U.S.-based live agents, SimpliSafe can quickly identify threats and stop crime before it starts. That's the real peace of mind. I set up a SimpliSafe and you can customize it to your home. It comes in the mail. It's incredibly easy. The instructions were easy to follow. And then once it was set up, it was so reliable. The customer support was always really great. The app was really easy to use. With SimpliSafe, there are no long-term contracts or cancellation fees. SimpliSafe earns your business by keeping you safe, not by trapping you in a contract. It's fast and easy to set up on your own. No drilling required. No waiting around for a technician to show up. The app-guided installation walks you through the process so you can get your system armed in less than an hour. And best of all, SimpliSafe is actually affordable. Monitoring plans start affordably at around $1 per day. I want you to experience the peace of mind of real home security, which is why I've partnered with SimpliSafe to offer an exclusive discount to Love It or Leave It listeners. Right now, you can get 50% off your new system by visiting simplisafe.com/loveit. That's half off at simplisafe.com/loveit. There is no safe like SimpliSafe. Love It or Leave It is brought to you by HomeServe. You've probably searched carefully for the best insurance plan to protect your health, your car, or even your phone. But what about your home? It's likely your biggest investment, and when things go wrong, the costs can add up quickly. That's where HomeServe comes in. Traditional homeowners insurance usually doesn't cover a lot of the day-to-day wear and tear, like plumbing failures, HVAC breakdowns, and electrical issues. You're often on your own for those. HomeServe is different. It's like a protective subscription for your home. For as little as $4.99 a month, they've got your back. It's super simple. Choose a plan for your needs and budget. And when something on your plan goes wrong, just call their 24/7 hotline to start the repair process. They've helped homeowners like you for over 20 years with a trusted network of 2,600 local contractors. With nearly 4.5 million customers, a 4.8 out of 5 post-repair rating, and an A+ Better Business Bureau rating, they're the real deal. I live in an old house, and when we've had these incredibly rainy periods in the rainy season here in LA, sometimes it's rained indoors, and boy, is it a hassle when all of a sudden you're like, what do I do? I'm setting up buckets under the rain that's coming inside the house. You got to find the person to fix it. It can be really hard to figure out, especially when you're trying to do it in a hurry. HomeServe can help with damaged electrical outlets, broken light switches, septic line repair, burst interior water pipe, furnace system breakdown, water heaters. Join the millions of customers who trust HomeServe for 50% off your first year. Go to homeserve.com/loveit. That's homeserve.com/loveit for 50% off. Savings compared to renewal price. Void in Florida.
And we're back. We'll have Tig Notaro and Aparna Nancherla to join in just a minute. But first, if you're a friend of the pod, thank you. If you're not, please consider becoming a paid subscriber. Subscribers get a ton of bonus content, ad-free episodes of your favorite pods, including Love It or Leave It, even more Pod Save America, including Only Friends, our bonus pod that is just for subscribers. We also have newsletters. We have Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster, which is about everything you need to know about the latest polling. There's ad-free breaking news episodes. Plus, you'll get Crooked Con Extra, like ticket discounts and on-site perks. If you're not a paid subscriber and you want it all, join at Friends of the Pod. So please go to crooked.com/friends to become a friend of the pod. It's a lot of great content, and you're supporting independent pro-democracy media. And if you're in the LA area, you can still get tickets at crooked.com/events to check out our new space here and upcoming guests, including stand-ups Todd Glass, David Bory, Ali Sadiq, and Jay Farrow. Plus, don't miss a special Pride episode later this June. All right. My next guest attended my wedding last weekend, which was the entire reason I had one. Please welcome to the stage, Tig Notaro. Hi. Hi, Tig.
Hi, John.
Good to see you.
It's really good to see you. You're still married?
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah?
I like it.
I love it.
It's fun to say husband.
Yes. I don't know. Yes. I have a female. I have a husband.
You have a husband.
Yes.
The other thing that was interesting is realizing I had in-laws.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't fully internalized them becoming true in-laws.
Yeah.
And there's a word in Yiddish, machatunim, which is for the relationship between Ari's parents and my parents, which is, there's no word for it in English because they're not technically in-laws. They're machatunim.
Oh.
Hey, at my wedding, did you enjoy sitting at the lesbian table?
I did, and it didn't take me a long time to figure out that I was at the lesbian table.
What was the first clue, you think?
Just business suits all around.
Yeah.
Short haircuts.
Yeah.
Girls holding girls' hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. No husbands.
Not a husband at that table.
No, not a husband there.
It was fun having a big lesbian table, and there was also a gay guy table.
I know, and what made you do that?
It seemed funny. We almost sat.
It did feel like we were sitting at a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know why we did it other than we thought, oh, you know, these lesbians don't necessarily know each other.
Right.
And maybe they'll become fast friends. Because I assume, you know, it's like how golden doodles can just tell another golden doodle.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. I thought from the business suits.
From the business suits. But we also did think about sitting one. We thought it'd be at the gate, like to have like Travis Helwig, who was the former head writer of the show, was at the wedding. We thought, wouldn't it be fun if it was just Travis and the lesbians, like almost like a band or something. But then we didn't do that.
How did the gay guy table do?
They all had sex with each other.
Yeah.
Which was cool at the wedding, which was like, guys, calm down.
My friend's son, do you want to hear this?
Yeah.
Okay. He came out to her before he went to college, and then she and her brother were encouraging him to join a gay guy group for support at college. And then she filled me in. She was like, I had no idea I was sending my son off to like travel orgies with a bunch.
Yeah, that is a big part of it.
Yeah, but those days are over.
Yeah, I never really had those days. You know, they were over. I didn't go through a travel orgy phase.
You staycation orgied?
Yeah. Just why are we going on? Yeah, you never need to pass an orgy to get to a further orgy.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Don't drive, you know?
Yeah.
Aaron Sorkin used to say that about Four Seasons is, why would you fly over a Four Seasons to get to a more distant Four Seasons? Just go to the nearest Four Seasons. And that's how I feel about orgies.
Yes. Yes. Go to your nearest orgy.
Yeah.
Yeah. At a four season.
I mean, that's a great orgy.
That's pretty
sweet.
That's
a great orgy. And if you do it with Amex, you get breakfast.
Breakfast for 30?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think it's, depends how you
book it. I don't know if you know, but orgies now have MCs. Mm. Have you heard this?
No.
Where they'll, My wife told me this.
Oh.
She was like, they'll have a microphone, the host, and be like, free hole. And like,
wow.
Yeah.
Sort of takes the romance out of it. But I don't know how much romance there is at the orgies.
There's none, but there's free holes. Any noodles.
Guess it, yeah, it depends on if it's like an odd number or even number.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like the clowns at the wedding? For people listening, there were clowns at the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
We got really excellent clowns to be part of the ceremony and to tell people their table numbers.
Here's my question.
Uh-huh.
What makes a clown a great clown? Because to me, I was just like, there's clowns like a clown that went to my birthday as a child. Like, I couldn't tell, like, oh my God, I just saw four incredible clowns.
So that's a great question.
Thank you.
And I think it's great to, I think you should be, oh, that's a great question.
Thank you.
They were so committed to the bit. They were each characters, and they each fully embodied those characters. And I will tell you, and I suppose everyone via the microphone, that I did write what was called the clown memo.
Okay.
And the clown memo had detailed character traits, qualities, and scripted dialogue for all four clowns.
And was the clown situation your idea?
It was Ari's idea to have the clowns.
Uh-huh.
And then I thought, well, if we're going to have clowns, there should be some kind of story.
Uh-huh.
Obviously.
Clearly.
And that evolved into the clown memo. And it was more pages than you'd think it was. I did work on the clown memo till really all hours of the night.
Yeah.
And not my vows. So that's on me. But each of the basically the clowns had a story in which they slowly discovered that Stu was a diabolical and evil clown sabotaging the love of Carpaccio and Stroganoff and undermining the career of Wellington.
And I'm bored.
But did you get that story from them?
I did. Yeah, I think that was clear. no, here was my issue. When I went up to get my table number, the clown, and I don't know who it was, that was giving me the number, there was a handkerchief.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful handkerchief.
It was Stroganoff.
Yes. Okay, it was Stroganoff.
Because mm-hmm. he was sad.
Okay. I know. And here's the problem. As a germaphobe,
mm-hmm.
I had a bit of an issue that this clown took my handkerchief and blew his nose into it. Yes, he had a clown nose on, but still, I was like, yeah, thank you. And I wanted the handkerchief, but I didn't want him to cry and blow his nose and mm-hmm. stuff into my handkerchief. And then I thought to go take it up with you.
Yeah.
And then I thought, this is not really the day to get into my issue with the clown blowing his nose in my handkerchief.
Right. And I understand you gave up Instagram.
You know, in stand-up, I'm not great at going from topic to topic. And what I fantasize about is having an actual segue on stage. So I am on one side of the stage. I tell a joke or story. And then I segue to the other side of the stage.
Right.
And I suggest that for you as well. Yes, I'm... it would be fun to do a show with the two of us on segues
mm-hmm.
and try and live through that.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Tig and other break their legs at the Largo.
Tig Notaro and one other. yes, I'm off social media. And what?
Nothing. I'm just locked in.
Yeah. Are you on social media and are you loving it?
I'm less and less on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that I do think is for the best. I'm consuming a lot of TikTok still. TikTok I go to just to consume.
That's social media.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
For sure.
That's the caveat.
Yeah.
I'm not using Instagram or Twitter as much. I'm going on there. I'm not producing as much. I'm mm-hmm. consuming more.
Yeah.
But maybe that's worse.
Well, that's why I got off, because I was never familiar with the Met Gala. I had heard of it, And then I was on Instagram and I was getting all of this information about the Met Gala. And I was like, oh, it's, I didn't know if it was awards. I didn't know what this thing was. And then I was like, okay, so fashion, then I, you know, Bezos, all of these things, and then the politics of who went and who. And then I found myself mad at Bad Bunny. And then I was like, hold on, I didn't even know who Bad Bunny was until the Super Bowl. And what has my life become that I am sitting stewing about Bad Bunny and his decision? And then I was like, I cannot be taking in this stuff.
Oh, I see. I think you handled that incorrectly. I think you should just let that become that, let that flow over you, and you'll find that there's so many. Once you're stopped being mad at Bad Bunny, you'll be mad at somebody new, and then that's really cool. And then you're kind of amped all the time, kind of ready to rumble.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I guess it's not what I'm looking for, John.
Oh, speaking of what we were talking about most recently. The time has come for Take Takes. It's a segment where we ask Take for her take on current events.
Oh, no.
And now that you're not even on Instagram, boy, I can't wait to find out what you think of these stories.
I can't wait either.
First up, we have RFK Jr. snake handling.
Hi.
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 So, what are they? Well, they're having sex, so I'm... So what were they?
They're having sex.
Well, I'll tell you what. I feel like this is maybe the fourth or fifth time Bobby has wrangled snakes since he's been in this administration. Mm-hmm. And he's living in D.C. now, right? Mm-hmm. How is this man running into so many snakes? I honestly am starting to feel like they're being placed someplace for him to run. I mean, when is the last time you ran into a snake?
It's really unlikely. I agree. It feels a little bit like when Richie Rich goes fishing. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
There's a lot of fish in that pond.
Okay,
that's
yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and it just, like... What, you're just out at, is he at Dr. Oz's house?
I don't know where he is.
I don't know either, but it's cement.
Right.
It's like I'm
glad you're raising this because I had the same thought, which I thought, I really did see the, and I immediately, my brain just went, staged snakes.
Yes.
Snakes staged.
Yes.
Fake snakes. It's a snake fake.
Ooh, you should get bumper stickers made that say that.
Keep honking, I'm faking a snake thing. Hey, what do you think about the new White House UFC arena?
I like it.
It's going to be...
These quick takes or hot takes? What
whatever
is this?
You want.
I just learned what hot takes were today.
That's just a strongly felt opinion, I suppose.
Yeah.
But a quick take is just exactly what it sounds like.
I really like what they're doing.
I think the quicker and hotter, the better. But it does. But it could be hot, it could be quick, it could be quick and hot.
I don't think
it should be neither quick nor hot. I think a lukewarm, long take is probably not what we're aiming for. But other than that, really kind of the world's your oyster.
I would like to see Bobby fighting, doing a snake thing in there.
Hey, the New York Times published an article called Being Straight is Great, Actually. And that was, they changed the headline to There's Nothing Wrong with Wanting Men. Agree or disagree?
It's complicated for me, I have to be honest. How are you?
I think there's nothing wrong with wanting men, and I think also there's nothing
and
wrong
is that
with
romantic?
Being straight, but they're different.
Yeah, what? It's romantically wanting a man.
Yeah, to romantically want a man. I think that like if you want a man to pick you up at the airport, I think nobody has a problem with that, and that's not really part of the discourse. I think it's more about having a kind of long-term sexual and romantic attachment to a man.
Yeah.
Is what the article is sort of delving at.
Yeah, I think there's nothing wrong with wanting men.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Have you heard of the term slam pig?
Because of this show.
You have heard of it?
No, truly because the producer told me.
Oh, of this show, not Rhode Island Housewives. Because Bill told you about Slam Pigs.
Yeah. Would you imagine I watch Rhode Island Slam Pigs?
No. The show is Real Housewives of Rhode Island. It's not called Rhode Island Slam Pigs, which, by the way, is a great name for a show. Boy, is there money to be made in a show called Rhode Island Slam Pigs.
I would be curious to watch it.
For sure.
But
for sure.
Not much grabs my attention with television, but one time Stephanie and I were in a hotel room and she said, let's watch something. And she was flipping through. And the one thing I chimed in about, I said, wait, go back. What was that, a wagon? And she went back and it wasn't a wagon. And she was like, what did you think it was going to be or what were you wanting? And I said, honestly, I was hoping it was like a information about the history of wagons. And that was truly something that I would have watched. Why are you shaking your head?
I'm just imagining that. I just feel like I'm not sure there's much of a difference for Stephanie between traveling with you and traveling with like a Victorian ghost. Like, ostensibly, I think those are basically the same experiences. You have to be you're not totally tracking the technology or anything.
Mm-hmm.
It is totally plausible that Stephanie could be alone and talking to you as a ghost, and everybody, it would be the same. I think it would look basically the same. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to have to let her know you said that.
Yeah.
But Slam Pigs.
Uh-huh.
I just am grateful that there is now a name for the kind of summers I've been having, because it's a slam pig summer, right?
Slam pig summer.
Yeah. I've been having slam pig summers my whole life.
Wow, that's so
nice. I just didn't know it was called that.
Right.
Yeah.
And for you, what is that?
What
is a slam pig summer to you, Tig Notaro?
I just like to get my body ready for the summer. And then I like to wear a bikini, you know, and I just sunbathe a lot and I wrestle.
Uh-huh.
What else is there to do?
That's it. You got it.
Yeah.
That's what a slam pig is.
In Rhode Island. I spend my summers in Rhode Island.
And then the broth is just clear. That's the thing.
Exactly.
That's how you know it's a Rhode Island slam pig summer, because you're in a bikini, you're getting tan, you're having chowder, but it's clear, Rhode Island.
What would you think if you saw me in a bikini sunbathing?
It's sort of, I don't know. It'd be sort of like seeing Donald Trump in a musical or...
Donald Trump.
You know what I mean? It's just sort of like, that seems, something must have, there must be a reason, but I don't know what it is.
Tig Slam Piggin.
Tig Slam Piggin.
Tim.
Tig Slam Piggin. By the way, if you want to see Tig Slam Pig in other contexts, check out the Handsome Podcast.
That's
And Tig will be in Albany on June 4th, Spokane on June 12th, Colorado Springs July 16th, and Calgary on August 30th.
Yeah.
Bringing that slam pig energy to Canada.
That's right. It's a slam pig summer.
Yeah. Slam pig, eh? How do you think this went?
I'm ready to get started.
And we'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Zazzle. You know that feeling when you're 3 days out from someone's birthday and you have no idea what to get?
Yep.
And then you end up with something generic that you're not even sure they'll like? That's where Zazzle comes in to save the day. Zazzle is a custom marketplace where you can take basically any product, a mug, a tote bag, a card, a phone case, and make it personal to you or someone you love. Browse millions of designs or start from scratch and build something completely on your own. Either way, you're the designer. Everything is made to order, so you never have to worry about an item being out of stock. Pick it, customize it, done. Over 30 million customers have trusted Zazzle with their most important gifts. Yours is next, right now. Save 25% on your first order at Zazzle.com. That's 25% on your first order at Zazzle.com. Go make something z-amazing. Well, all right, we'll keep pitching on that. Zazzle.com.
Hey, Crooked listeners, if you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods. Ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
And we're back. Please welcome to the stage. She appeared in a documentary called Anxiety Club, and now I'm anxious I wasn't asked to join. It's Aparna Nancherla. Hi. Good to see you.
Hi, Aparna. There's your seat.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Aparna. Good to see you.
Good to see you both.
So, you're in a documentary about anxiety, huh?
I am. It's about comedians with anxiety.
Huh. I wouldn't want to belong to a club that would make me feel scared. Are you in the anxiety club?
I am. I'm an official member.
That's cool. When I first did therapy, my therapist said, "Do you think you might have chronic anxiety?" And I said, "No. That's ridiculous." And then she said, "All right, well, describe how it feels to move through the world." And then I did. And she's like, "That's terrible anxiety." And she's like, "I think we have to figure out why you don't understand how you feel all the time and why your brain is not connected to your body, because you're anxious 24 hours a day and you just think that's what normal is." And I was like, "Bitch."
That's also how I go through therapy.
Yeah?
Yeah, I just, I sit there and then occasionally I go, "Bitch." We might have similar types of anxiety.
Well, the last time I was in therapy, I was anxious because I wasn't. It was like early, and I was dating Ari, and I was like really anxious that it wasn't going to work out.
Yeah.
And then I texted my therapist a picture of us getting married because I haven't seen her in the years since because I've been so busy.
Whoa. So you got into a relationship, broke up with your therapist, basically, or ghosted her.
We're not broken up. We're just sort of taking a break for indefinitely. I don't need therapy. I don't need it. I don't need it.
What are you basing that on?
I got it all figured out.
Okay.
He had clowns at his wedding.
Oh, well, that's that's a sign you've kind of evolved to the next plane.
Yeah. Hey, you said you wish you could do stand-up to no audience.
Yeah. That's my main problem with stand-up, that there's an audience.
Oh, yeah? But then how do you know how to feel about yourself if you're not getting the validation from outside?
I think I will assume it's going fine. I think if I could just remove the fact that there are strangers there, that would be helpful. But I don't mean I want to perform for friends and family. There's something about other people there that's always been my main hang up with stand-up. And I think that's why people are sometimes upset that I do it.
Tig, do you like having a crowd, or would you rather do it just sort of in a white box?
Good question. Thank you, John. One time I did perform for no people.
Didn't you do a tour that was just like people's living room?
Well, I did that too, but let's keep that a secret.
Okay.
I did a college. I did Pepperdine College, and I showed up to the student center. No one else did. And the people that booked me, I said, "So what do we do?" And they said, "You have to do your material." So I sat down and with my mic and just told the woman who booked me, I was like, "So I was at the grocery store and did that for an hour to get my check."
Wow.
So I guess there was one person there, but Not a single person.
That's almost like she was a dictator, because that seems like what a dictator would do. Like, bring me my favorite stand-up.
Exactly.
Do your thing.
Bring me this unknown person we booked at a very low rate to fulfill our budget.
But college,
you know what that sounds like, though? It sounds like what a clown would have done. You know?
Dead on noise.
Wow, that's really good. It's like a clown's here.
Yeah.
For the listeners at home, no clown. You were saying.
I was saying college gigs are notoriously difficult.
Yes.
I remember I did a college gig where when I got there, the poster for the show said, free chicken nuggets. And then my name in tiny letters at the bottom. And I was like, yeah, the chicken nuggets are the draw. That's how you
and
get
when we
people.
Had our comedy duo, we were also the chicken nuggets.
Yeah. Free chicken nuggets was the improv group opening for me.
Yes. Yeah.
What have you learned about anxiety that you wish you had known earlier in your life?
That it never ends.
Oh, well, that seems like a...
What? How would you answer that? That's a tough one.
He doesn't have it.
Yeah, I don't have it.
Oh, that's true.
Not a problem. I would say two things. Thinking about it, one thing I would definitely say is I have definitely like had people in my life that have like moments of really acute anxiety where they're like really struggling, and there's like a culture around, and I think it's for good reason, people are like reluctant to like take things like chemicals to deal with their problems, which I think is a good instinct in general. But like I think that there are certain times like when people are suffering, it's like, hey, if you're having like an anxiety attack, take a thing, just get it, get the emotions, the deal with the thing quickly, and then like focus on what caused it. But I think sometimes people kind of like, you know, like white knuckle through terrible experiences, and I don't think that's a good idea.
Well, I know there are comedians who are also like, I don't want to take, you know, antidepressants because I think then I won't be as funny if I'm not depressed, which is really interesting theory.
You don't think there's any truth to that?
I think it makes it seem like your pain is the only reason that you're able to like create or something, and I don't think that's necessarily true.
I'm on your side.
That's my hot take, Tig.
I know what that means.
In your special Hopeful Potato, you talk about seeing your WikiFeed entry and seeing that your feed have mid ratings.
Yeah.
So we blur them out. Those are your blurred feet. They have a 2.78.
But you know what's weirder? When I saw that photo, because I first saw it, it was shown to me at some show I agreed to do, and then they whipped this out after I did my set, and I don't think those are my feet.
Where would they have gone? Like,
I don't know. Yeah. I've never done footwork.
But I can't picture you ever being in a situation outside of your house barefoot. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I know you well enough to know you're going to put your shoes on.
Yeah.
What the hell's that?
I don't know.
So you don't even think these are your feet?
I think they're deep fakes.
Now, we did look into this, and Tig, you have a much higher rating on this website.
I also blurred them out. There I am.
We blurred them just to protect your
identity.
You have a 4.
Those are actually at Parna's feet.
Yeah. Now, the team also discovered that John Favreau has a high rating, as does Tommy Vitor.
Whoa, 4.95.
They're getting great ratings for these feet. I am not on WikiFeet. I'll tell you someone who is, Jeffrey Epstein.
Edged out Epstein.
And here, you're doing better than Epstein. I want you to read the comments. These are the comments on Jeffrey Epstein's WikiFeet. This is a wiki about feet, not about judgments. What he did or didn't do isn't the deciding factor, period. The eligibility criteria are described, and no, that's not debatable.
To argue a site where you rate feet is not about judgments is patently
unhinged. It's about not about judgments outside of the feet. They separate the art from the artist,
okay.
Basically. Boy, I'll tell you something. Speaking of feet, walk, don't run to Aparna's new animated series, Kevin. Applaud me.
Wow.
You play a gross cat.
I play a gross, yeah, a gross kitten, a sickly kitten.
But Tig, you're also in it.
Oh, yes.
Do you play a cat?
I don't remember.
Most characters on the show are animals, so you're probably either a cat or some other creature.
Hey, if you don't want to perform in front of people, doing animated stuff seems like it might be right up your alley.
I love it.
Because you're in a little booth.
You're in a little cave. You don't have to look at anyone. You just have your cans on, and you can just inhabit your little world and be a little kitten on the brink of death.
Any other thoughts about being anxious?
I think I would say one thing that's interesting about anxiety, because you guys were talking about snakes earlier,
mm-hmm.
and how they're there when
because
you don't
somebody
expect,
places them
because
there.
Because someone places them there, and anxiety is actually an adaptive trait. It's like when our ancestors were trying to figure out, is that a stick or is that a snake? So I think maybe anxiety is still around because of RFK Jr.
Mm. When are you least anxious?
Oh, great question.
Thank you. Somebody has to have them.
Now I'm feeling what I think is anxiety. I'm not sure. I've never experienced it before. First time for everything.
I have to say, a time that I do feel at peace, and sorry to be vulgar, but right after I take a poop, I do feel at peace because it feels like there's a release. I did my job.
Mm.
Nothing else is expected of me. No one is going to rape me.
Wow, that's a leap.
And I can check it off. Yeah.
Now, this is the second time I've heard about your poop.
Really?
Well, not yours. You were going to rent an apartment in your bit, and then they were like, the one thing is you can't poop in this apartment.
Yeah,
you have to
right.
take your poop out in a bag. Let's go to commercial.
Wait, you had to take your poop out in a bag?
I saw an apartment in New York where they were like, everything's fine, but the toilet, you cannot poop in it.
But that's not a good sign when they start out with, listen, everything's fine.
I just, first of all, how do they know?
Well, because apparently it'll probably explode.
But it can't even handle a classic poop? That's what they've been.
What
that's
about
what
loose stool? Like what about a loose stool?
Yeah. What about a
what
loose stool?
What do you
stool?
Mean, what about a loose
stool? Well, it's poop, but it's loose.
Oh.
Like it's
gotta
diarrhea.
Be fine. It's got to be fine.
Well, I think it was also that it was when I walked in, it was clearly just like an IKEA showroom.
Mm.
So nothing was actually hooked up to anything.
Oh. Well, that would also be a problem for peeing, one would think.
Yes.
Yeah, they would have been like, you can poop in there, but it's just going to kind of keep piling
but
up.
But are you still living there?
We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Chime. Chime is changing the way people bank. They offer the most rewarding fee-free banking built for you, not the 1%. They're not like traditional old banks that charge you overdraft and monthly fees. They have thousands of fee-free ATMs because why pay to get your own money? Chime members can benefit from up to $1,150 in annual rewards fee-free. Get 5% cash back on Chime card in a category of your choice like gas or groceries. You get savings that grow faster with a 3.75% APY. That's 9% higher than the national average. Plus, you get premium travel perks like airport lounge access and 24/7 travel concierge included with your Chime card. They also have SpotMe, which lets you overdraft up to $200 fee-free. Chime is rated 5 stars by USA Today for customer service. Real humans. 24/7. Chime is not just smarter banking. It's the most rewarding way to bank. Join the millions who are already banking fee-free today. Head to chime.com/loveit. That's chime.com/loveit. It only takes a few minutes to sign up. Chime is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services for MyPay and Chime card provided by Chime's bank partners. Optional products and services may have fees or charges. Stated annual percentage yield and cash back for Chime Prime only. No minimum balance required. Checking account ranking based on a J.D. Power survey published October 20th, 2025. For more information on APY rates, MyPay, SpotMe, and travel perks, go to chime.com/disclosures.
Hey, Crooked listeners. If you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.
And we're back. Aparna.
Yes.
In honor of your WikiFeet beat, we're going to put our foot knowledge to the test. In the lightning round, we're calling foot traffic. I'm going to show you and Tig a pair of feet, and you're going to guess whose feet they are, and I will reveal if you are right. Some of them are feet from the news this week. Some of them are classic feet from pop culture. Are you ready?
We're supposed to figure out whose feet.
That's okay. Right. First up, whose feet are these?
Fred Flintstone.
You got
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
There he is.
Got a softball.
Anything after the 70s, I won't know.
Three toes.
Yeah. He's always had three.
Next up, whose feet are these?
Oh, that's John Travolta.
What?
Get it.
How did you know that?
I don't know if that is.
Oh.
Is it?
No.
How did I not know that?
How could she have known?
How would she know that?
I will say this. It is a photo that is very recent, and it is of someone who has revealed a new, quote, cuntilicious look.
Oh, Miley Cyrus.
No.
Oh, cuntilicious.
And I will say it includes a...
Is it me?
Martha Stewart.
Wouldn't you know if you... First of all, could you imagine Martha Stewart in wide leg pants? Inconceivable. It's Susan Boyle.
What?
No.
Yes, she has a new look. Boyle's back, and she's got what is I think known colloquially as a cunty bob.
I think it's cool for her. Do you remember Susan Boyle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I guessed it correctly.
But no, okay. So next up.
Wow.
Whose feet are these? Look at those. My goodness.
That's Jill Biden.
That's Jill Biden. Show me Jill Biden. Nope, it's Lady Gaga. But the
That's Lady Gaga.
Let's go to these.
You still
feet.
Got it, kid.
What?
Oh yeah, that's Bigfoot.
Close.
Big feet.
Oh, big feet.
Big feet.
That's big feet.
I didn't even see where the foot started.
Any guesses? I'll give you a hint. The White House posted a picture of this creature.
What?
This
the?
Week.
Are you seeing feet?
I think I see one.
There's feet.
With a mushroom growing through its toes.
Okay.
But then it also looks like there's a club foot the other side.
I know.
Looks like a foot
and
then a club foot.
It's Harambe.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a foot and a knee.
You're right. But it's at least one foot.
But he's looking good. He could still get it.
Well, he died. He died in 2011.
He could still get it.
Died in 2011. And the White House inexplicably posted... on the anniversary of Harambe's death. Next up.
Oh, yeah.
Shrek?
You got it. It's Shrek.
And why aren't we rating these feet?
Well, what do you want to give this? What do you want to give Shrek's feet?
Two farts down.
Yeah.
Oh, this went great. We'll be right back. And we're back. And now for our favorite end of show segment, where we take a loving stroll through everything I said or did this evening and decide whether or not I regret it in a segment we call Second Thoughts. And Tig and Aparna, we'd love to hear any second thoughts you have about this evening.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready, but I'll take us through a few first. I told arsonists to at least enjoy it. Oh, Tig, I'm sorry I compared lesbians to golden doodles.
I didn't notice.
I revealed too much about the boring clown memo.
I didn't notice. Fa-fa.
Fa-fa, fa-fa, fa-fa. Hey, Tig, the producers want to know if you have any second thoughts about referring to the free holes at the orgies.
I have deep regret over that. It's private. People should have their privacy with the orgies. And I apologize that I even brought this into this respectable conversation we've been having.
Oh, I also lied about not needing therapy.
I think we tracked it.
I shouldn't have shown Tommy and John's feet scores because I hurt my own feelings.
Oh.
Stop it! Do you have any regrets, Aparna?
Yeah, I'm sort of embarrassed I ghostwrote that op-ed. There's nothing wrong with wanting men. But I'm glad you guys gave it a shout.
People were mad that the Times ran that right before Pride, and it's like, who cares?
Yeah. But also, they kind of clickbaited it because the full line was, there's nothing wrong with wanting men to exist.
Too much poop talk, maybe?
Not enough.
Not enough.
I enjoy poop talk.
Me too.
I guess it's my biggest regret is that we didn't get deeper into it.
Yeah. I always find that people are reluctant to talk about pooping, but you know what? Everybody does it. And if you bring it up, there's a moment where people kind of look around and just like, this is allowed? We can talk about poop at this restaurant? And you can, and then everybody's having a great time.
And you know when people are like, sorry to shit talk, and then they say something about some peer, you know, you're like, I was ready to talk about shit.
Yeah. I've seen you in that situation before.
Yeah. And you see how angry I get.
Yeah.
This show's over. I'm going to end it right now. Is that okay?
I'm fine.
Any final thoughts?
No.
No. I don't have any.
I don't have time to get into it.
And that is our show. Thank you so much for taking the time on the Pardon on Charlotte. There are 152 days until the midterms. We'll be back on Friday with Todd Glass, and we will see you later this week. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. Our show is produced by Kendra James, Bill McGrath, Kelsey Gante, and me, John Lovett. Our production team includes Hallie Kiefer, Sarah Lazarus, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Jay Banks, Gavin Purcell, and Magic Grote. And our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Hey, Crooked listeners. If you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.